so nerdy when we came in and danced to that song.
How's everybody doing tonight? Welcome to Two Beers In, a Tipsy Political Roundtable.
Who's here for the first time?
A lot of people.
Yeah, a lot of people.
A lot of hands
for
going up. I'm Charlie Todd.
I'm Cody Lindquist. We are a married couple.
We're all right.
I know, guys. We're in love. Isn't that great?
We are in love. We've been married for a long time.
Wow, you said that
enthusiastically. We act like that's a big deal every show, and it is. But you know,
well, marriage is a big deal. Finding the love of your life is a big deal. I thought so.
This is a show where
it's totally cool.
We've already chugged two beers, as you guys saw us do on stage.
The reason I bring up is we're a married couple. We love two things, or three things, politics, beer, and our son. We love him, too.
Yeah, that's true.
But he's like third.
Yeah.
For the politics and the beer. So we decided to start this show.
So we put them together, and we started this show. This is the show where opinionated comedians, sometimes journalists.
Yep.
Tonight, just
politicos
comedians.
In general.
Tonight, just comedians. Chug two beers and talk politics.
Yeah.
Which we've already done, which is why we're sort of stumbling through this.
So who here is terrified for our national nightmare?
By applause. All right. A lot of people.
All right.
A lot of
people. Who here is excited to live in Trump's America?
No.
Okay. You know, surprisingly, in New York City, we've gotten no single Trump supporter in our audience. People are terrified to say that.
I saw a headline recently that was like, Donald Trump loves New York City. New York City does not love him back. It was like a New York Times article. Like, that had to have hurt his delicate feelings.
Yeah, and also, like, apparently his kids are getting stalked. And like booed in New York City.
Ivanka has a literal stalker,
that's terrible.
But Eric can't go to a bar in Murray Hill without.
Although Murray Hill, he might be okay.
Eric was at SantaCon, I heard.
Oh yeah.
I was like, really?
It's so sad that I believed that. I really believe that. Anyway, our panel is so much funnier than us. So
we're gonna bring our panel out. Some program notes. We do the show every month at UCB East.
Yes.
Here.
This is our 1 year anniversary show.
That's right. We should get applause for that. Thank you.
Yeah.
We started the show last December. We had Pat Kiernan on our first show.
We did.
That was weird.
That was great.
It was awesome and great, but it was weird to make Pat Kiernan chug two beers when
he had to
wake up at 4 a.m.
He did chug two beers.
He did. He was great.
Yeah.
So this is our 1 year anniversary. We'll have another show towards the end of January 20-something. So come back to that. And we podcast this show.
Please subscribe, leave a review.
Leave a review.
It helps us get seen on iTunes.
And let's bring out our audience.
All right. Okay, first we have a very talented writer from Stephen Colbert's show. Late Night with Stephen Colbert?
Late Night with Stephen Colbert. No. God. The Late Show with
the
Stephen
late
Colbert.
Show Stephen Colbert. I'm drunk. Kate Sidley, everybody.
Kate Sidley is here from The Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And from a writer from Late Night with Seth Meyers, Allie Horde is here. Welcome, Allie. And finally, our dear friend, he's an actor on a show on Pop right now.
We're so drunk.
He's
also from the UCB Theater.
Give it up for Jeff Hiller.
Jeff. What is your show called again?
Nightcap. It's Nightcap.
It's called Nightcap.
Can I be honest? All of your shows have the word night in them, and I've had two beers, and I can't fucking remember which show is which.
My show does not have the word night in it.
It should. It's on at night, Kate. It's on at night. God.
We all chug two Bronx Banner Ales. I want to give a shout-out to Bronx Brewery. We really enjoyed their beer. It was not the best beer to chug, though, I have to admit.
It was
the right alcohol percentage, but it was...
Every month, we have this problem where we're like, we like this beer, but I'm chugging this beer. And those are two separate things. I mean, really, the best beer to chug is just water.
That is the best beer.
Isn't that Bud Light?
Exactly.
No, that is true. Good American adjunct light lager is the best to chug.
Yeah, so, take me back to freshman year. That's when you chug, right? Does anyone chug after 18 years old? Except for when you're hauled into a podcast in which you're required.
No.
Well, this is a sipping IPA for me.
Yes. I do love that. I feel like at the beginning of the show, just like looking at a bunch of tortured 20 and 30 somethings, like trying their best. We had Joan Walsh on once, and she was a champion chugger.
She was.
Yes.
She was fantastic.
Yeah, she was amazing.
So let's start talking about the news of the week. Jeff, did you go to college in Texas?
Yeah.
Jeff, did you go to college? If not, can you get off the stage?
No, you know, you talked about chugging in college. So you grew up in Texas. You went to college in Texas. You have family in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to talk about Rick Perry real quick because it was announced today that Trump is picking Rick Perry for Department of Energy. And it should be noted.
Oops.
The Department of Energy is the very agency that Rick Perry couldn't remember he wanted to eliminate and has now been picked to lead it. So I don't think he should be in charge of any department that he wants to eliminate, much less the one that he couldn't remember he wanted to eliminate it. But is Rick Perry a huge dick? Are we going to be okay? You probably know Rick Perry better than anybody on stage.
Well, I know him very well.
You guys hooked up in college?
We're very good friends. We go to the same hairdresser. He is a very ineffective governor. He didn't do a lot. You know, before him was W, right? And after him...
You guys have had nothing but W and Rick Perry for, like...
Well, now they have this guy who's, like, a straight-up Bond villain. He's, like, in a wheelchair and stuff. Like, legit, he really is. And he's, like, combing... Like, he, like, pets a cat or whatever. I'm forgetting his name right now, but he's, like, super terrible. He's, like... he's the reason that, like, now you have to have a funeral if you have a miscarriage in Texas or whatever. He's, like, all about that. Like,
that's a new thing.
Yeah, like, it just happened.
Mike Pence tried to do this in Indiana, and maybe it didn't happen. I can't remember. Maybe it did. But is that a real thing? Like, you really have to have a funeral?
Yes.
Or you have to have it cremated or buried.
You have to pay. That's the onerous thing.
If my grandmother passes away, we don't have to have a funeral, right?
Right. No, but this is the onerous thing. You have,
but
let's
you
say you have a
dump
miscarriage.
Her body out.
You can't flush the fetus down the toilet, is what we're saying.
They would burn it like in a hospital incinerator.
Yeah, okay. And it's just really, you have to pay for it. So someone, you know, you have a miscarriage at 2 months, which is extremely common.
Yeah, I shouldn't even.
And then someone is like, oh, by the way, you owe us $500, and do you want to say the last rites? I mean, come on.
And then also, you know, the whole thing with Wendy Davis, where she had that really great filibuster.
Yes.
He's the reason that she had to have that filibuster.
And then they ran against each other, and he won.
He won.
Yeah. What about Ann Richards? Wasn't she
was great.
W?
She was pre Dubs.
Yeah, she was great.
Yeah. Rick Perry.
I just wanted to prove that I've heard of another Texas governor.
What's
sweet?
Can anybody
else
name a Texas governor?
I read something today that Rick Perry is the director of the company who is going to deal with that North Dakota pipeline.
He works for that company.
So. If he's the head of the Department of Energy, I think we know what's going to happen with that pipeline.
Well, Trump also owns stock in Energy Transfer Partners, which is...
Guys, it goes so deep.
One of them.
I think
stop bringing up his conflicts of interest? Because, it's so annoying. I'm, like, really over it.
But
like, whatever.
Every single cabinet member that he has appointed is... Like, talks about how they hate everything that post does.
Right.
Like, they're literally the worst person to be not... And it's not like, oh, Jeff, calm down with your liberal agenda. It's like black and white, obviously the worst person
for
that job.
Yeah, the head of the EPA is a climate change denier. Like,
exactly.
That's a problem.
Yeah, Tillerson, there are actual pictures of him toasting champagne with Putin.
Yeah.
I think I heard on the news today, so we're talking about Rex Tillerson, and this will bring us into a Russia discussion, which we wanted to have today. Rex Tillerson, his Secretary of State nominee. On the news today, they said he is the best friend of Putin that's an American. So, like, every single person in America... He is the closest to Putin.
They awarded him the Order of the Medal of Friendship.
Yes.
Which is like a very weird Russian way to say you're my friend. You have to give him a medal.
It
He's
feels
basically
Russian,
like
though,
knighted
right?
It feels
in Russia.
Very Putin.
It's a Russian friendship bracelet, is it? Yes. Official combination.
It's not quite the syntax of an American Order of the Friendship of the Russian or whatever. It's like too odd.
It's a joke. I mean, literally, the sitting CEO of ExxonMobil, who is buddies with Putin, is being nominated for Secretary of State. Like, that's. I just wonder if the Trump voters, if that's what they signed up for, and now they're just not paying attention or they don't care.
I feel like with the Trump voters, because I go down a lot of dark rabbit holes on Twitter, they're the. Don't we all?
Yes.
Yes. I feel like there are the people who are just like, they drank the Kool-Aid, they're in the Trump cult, they will justify anything he does. And then I feel like there are people like that guy, Joe Walsh, who is like, I don't care what party you're in. Russia is sort of an enemy of the state right now. We need to figure out what's going on. So I feel like he will lose some followers, like that woman who is basically saying that the... that one guy who worked for Goldman Sachs, she lost her home because his company foreclosed on her.
Mnuchin
She was like, I was very disappointed that he appointed him. He's going to lose people like that. But then, I mean, there's just so many people who, like, literally the first response on every Trump tweet is like a guy selling liberal tears mug. Like, just like, we're behind him 100% no matter what.
And then I also feel like there's the other section of the population which just goes in every single time and checks the R for the president and then just checks out. They're like, all right, this guy's the Republican. That's it. And then they just don't ignore it for the next 4 years.
Yeah, I think it's like... I think just as like, you know, strident liberals, we all are on like social media so much, you know, crying our liberal tears. But what we don't realize is like, aside from the Trump fans on social media, there are millions of Trump fans who just aren't reading these headlines every day. Like right. my mom had some friends in town and one of them was like a Trump sympathizer. And she had no idea these people he was appointing to his cabinet. She was very much in the give him a chance thing. And as I told her all these news headlines, she was like, oh, really? Like she had completely tuned out after the election.
Because right. People don't pay attention. They only pay attention during a presidential election year. And that year is over. And yeah.
They don't pay attention for midterms. And they don't pay attention right. for local elections, and these are the things that really, really count.
Also, I do think people are misinformed. I think, first of all, Russia did interfere in the election.
Yeah, let's talk about Russia.
And there is all of that fake news.
Jeff, you don't know that. It could have been a 400-pound person in New Jersey.
Why he gotta be 400 pounds?
That is true. That was weird. Anyway.
Did you read that article?
It's because it's Chris Christie.
Oh, he's setting not 400 up. He's setting anymore. Up. He had that gastric bypass. And he's 396 now. Oh, fat shaming is not okay, and I apologize. So when it first happened, when the election first happened, and everyone was like, you need to reach out to the people who voted for Trump and understand it because you live in this bubble and everything. And then we all had the backlash where we were like, wait a minute, they live in the bubble. They only talk to people exactly like them. I live in New York City. I talk to lots of different people. Anyway, now I'm having this weird like coming back to it now where I'm like, oh, I think there are people who are just really misinformed. Like there was this article. Anybody read that article in the New York Times this Sunday about...
Every liberal sentence starts with, did you guys read that article in the New York Times?
Sometimes it's, did you guys read that article in the New Yorker?
Anyhow. I never read those. They're too long.
It was about Twinkies. It was about the hostess and how these venture capitalists came in and like pretended that they were helping it, but really they were just making it less jobs and they made like $211 million off of it that year, each individual executive. And there was this guy interviewed in it who was like, fired from hostess because his job was eliminated. And he was like, I voted Democrat all my life, but I'm voting Republican now. I'm tired of getting dicked around. In his mind, Trump was this way to change it. But what he didn't realize, and I know that this sounds patronizing and that I'm saying like, oh, you dumb dumb. I'm not saying that. I feel like people really misinformed him and actively tried to misinform him, but he voted for someone who wants to bust unions, and here he is, this union man for his entire life. I felt bad for him. I felt bad because he voted against his own self-interest.
Yeah, which a lot of people do.
That's
often. Not new. So, well, I want to dive into Russia because Russia has been part of misinforming a lot of the populace. So the intelligence community has said this week that they believe with certainty that Russia meddled in our election in favor of Donald Trump, or at least the CIA says that they were doing it in order to favor Donald Trump. And Trump is just saying, no, like, I don't believe it, well, which is crazy because I feel like I don't have like a surveillance organization. And if I had like some experts who spend their whole day literally just listening to people's phone conversations and whatever, and they were like, this happened, I'd be like, okay, cool.
But have you read the articles on it? Like, even the New York Times doing like a deep dive, it's not even like this like really organized, malicious Russian interference. It's so embarrassing for the U.S. how easy we made it for them. Like, there was something that came out today that basically, like, Podesta's aide was supposed to tell him that someone's phishing for his password, but instead of writing, this is an illegitimate email, change your password, he wrote, this is a legitimate email. And, like, Podesta basically opened his emails, 60,000 emails to the Russian. Yeah, this
Wait,
was like a
one
new
intern left out a IL?
Exactly. So that's how DNC got, well, that's how Podesta specifically got hacked, they think. And then they're also saying just like,
don't they use one password or something? I mean, come on.
I mean, and just like the article went on to be like, you know, it was just this sort of long, slow con of like, okay, let's start generating fake news. I mean, it was like Russia didn't even really have to try. We're just that terrible.
And they also
security.
Like their goal was to like make once Hillary wins, because they knew she was going to win. Everybody knew she was going to win. Once Hillary wins, we'll make her be, you know, illegitimate based on all of these leaks. And then they were like, oh shit, maybe Trump, like they actually accidentally made Trump win.
And the thing that's scarier to me is less that Trump, you know, doesn't believe this, because Trump, I don't think he holds any core beliefs or philosophies. I don't think he's actually an intelligent man. He has a very small vocabulary. I don't care a lot about what he individually thinks, because I think, you know, part of the reason Russia wanted to manipulate it is because he is easily puppeted, manipulated. What frightens me more is the ease with which so many other leaders are willing to disregard this intervention by a foreign government because it serves their immediate purposes.
Yep. Immediate purposes.
Yes. It's very short-sighted. Yeah. It's like, it's as if they've never seen, it's as if they've never saw a movie growing up.
The Americans?
Where like the sidekick of the bad guy gets killed always. They just never, you know, they watched like the first half of The Mummy and then they never finished it and they were like, that's great.
And legit, like the screenplay writer for this is like way worse than the guy who wrote The Mummy. Like, he's just like, oh, and then it's Russia that's his best friend. You know what I mean? Like, it's like so obvious and you can see it coming from a million miles away.
Yes, although I will argue, Mummy, excellent movie.
Mummy 2, Revenge of the Mummy, probably not.
No.
American politics are very much like the movie The Mummy.
I think with the whole hacking thing too, like just that's infuriating if that's the case about Podesta's email that he just like fell
but
for
also
some
these
stupid
are old
phishing
people.
Scam.
These
that's
are
what
old
this is
people.
What I wanted to say is that we
yeah,
have
but
to.
He's not my grandma.
But we have to stop like nominating 70-year-olds, right? That was one thing that was fucking great about Obama is that he was like not super old. He understood how technology works.
Honestly, if any of our parents or our grandparents, because well, no, parents, grandparents, whatever. But if any of them were running for president and elected president, I mean, the amount of tech support we give our parents, I can't imagine. My mother has the same password for everything. Like, she would be hacked in a second.
My mother has all of her passwords, and she listens to the podcast, shout out mom. But she has all of her passwords written in a little notebook that sits next to her computer at all times. Now, I don't think anybody's going to break into her home and take her passwords, but I, you know.
I've seen it. She keeps it in her purse. Sometimes she pulls it out and has got all of her passwords.
But that's better than, like, I don't know, having just one password.
Yeah, except with, I feel like with everybody's parents, they're always like, you know, I love my son, 1, 2, 3. Like, that's
well, I mean, but even Hillary, like Hillary's dumb joke, like the second or third time she was asked about her email scandal, like, oh, did I wipe my server? Do you mean with a cloth?
Oh.
Just like, it's cringeworthy. And I do, Democrats need to get a young farm team.
You know what? It's okay. We did. We just elected the oldest president in the history of the Republic. So we did. We fixed it with Donald Trump.
Well, it's crazy. A poll just came out today, and Biden is leading the Democratic preference for president in 2020.
And Bernie's probably too.
Biden's going to be like 77. Like, what are we doing?
I was thinking we could just reanimate the corpse of Reagan and bring him back. What do you think?
Nobody can say.
I'm sure he's cryogenically frozen. Right. It's probably the case.
Yeah, but it would probably like involve stem cells, and he's like opposed.
He's like, man, unless they bring me back. Then I'm like, hey, sounds great.
To talk about the sidekicks really briefly, like we were talking, like, it's been amazing to me. I want to talk about Mitt Romney. It's just been amazing to watch Mitt Romney switch and switch and switch. And the poor guy fell for it. And he showed up to Trump Tower and he gave a statement about how wonderful the conversation is and how hopeful he is about Trump. And then, you know, 2 weeks later, he's like, nah, it's not going
to
be you.
The same thing happened to his dad.
Really?
Nixon humiliated George Romney. It's like it runs in the family.
Like Nixon offered him a cabinet position and took it away?
Publicly humiliated, yes. Yeah.
You know what? Where else that happened? On Jane the Virgin. It's like so obvious.
Great show, by the way. Highly recommend. Great show.
No, we were all like, he's not going to pick Romney.
Yeah, but okay, so I will say
actually,
this.
We were all so sad and depressed.
Didn't he just appoint Romney's niece to a position?
I didn't know that, did he?
That's also like just twisting the knife.
To what position?
I don't know, some position I never knew existed until I read it.
Is she like 20? Is she hot?
We had an audience
These
member
are the
say,
important
is she
questions
hot?
About female politicians.
What does she
politicians?
Look like?
Well, but that's a good question for if Trump is nominating
Trump.
A young woman.
Yeah, okay.
I think I understand what you're talking about.
We get it. You're speaking as President Trump. Because all the women have to
She's
be
nominated
hot.
To be Secretary of the Posterior.
But I'm really into the Secretary of the Bouncing Rack.
Is that your Trump?
Yeah, that was not my good Trump. My Trump is sort of like Andrew Dice Clay. I hold them in the same regard.
You're a male actor in Trump's America. You better work on your Trump impression, because pretty soon that might be all you're allowed to do on television.
Are you guys having dreams about Trump?
Oh, nightmares, maybe.
No, nightmares.
I've had a couple. I just sort of like...
Interesting that the men on this panel have had dreams about Trump.
I've had easily 3 nightmares a week since he's been elected.
Wow.
About him.
I don't have nightmares. I just wake up at 4 a.m. and stare at the ceiling and then check Twitter and then just stare at the ceiling for another 3 hours.
Well, some of them are just lucid, like, is there some way we could go back in time and fix this?
Yeah, I wake up with a general anxiety in the middle of the night and can't go back to sleep. It's just like a general sort of like, I feel like I need a Xanax.
So I've still been in sort of the denial phase of recovery, and I wear my Hillary
Mazel
t-shirt.
Tov.
Thank you. I still wear my Hillary button on my shirt often, and I still have a little bit of hope about the Electoral College. Does anybody
Charlie.
On this panel think?
That's because really soon now, right? Isn't it?
No.
It's December 20th. It's coming up. But literally the reason we have it is to prevent a madman who is a puppet from a foreign government for becoming president.
The only reason I also hold out some degree of hope for the Electoral College is because everybody who's telling me, oh, that's not how it works, that'll never happen, are all the same people who very condescendingly told me, Hillary's gonna win. That's gonna happen. So I feel like, you know, in a weird sense, there's a liberation of, well, maybe there aren't any rules. Maybe anything is possible. Maybe
and that
we're...
dumb screenwriter would make that be the ending, too.
And then, guys, it was a dream the whole time at the end.
We woke up. No, but I think that would be terrible. I really do think that would be more devastating.
Why?
For
because
the Republic.
Why? Because we'd have rioting in the streets because all the Trump supporters have guns and they would shoot people?
Because we have a system of government that has been set in place. And if you undermine that system
but
of government...
But part of that system is if someone who is patently unqualified, who is supported by a foreign government, who is doing things like appointing people to cabinet positions who
precedent?
Don't believe in the position...
Have the electors ever gone faithless in the history of the United States? Have
no.
I don't, I'm asking.
No.
I'm
but
like,
have
is
we
there
ever
precedent?
Nominated...
Oh, wait, maybe
someone
yeah,
said
once.
That it did happen once.
At the beginning of
the beginning.
It was, no, not in modern
it
history.
It was some very close election.
Yeah. It was in, something like...
I'm not saying it's going to be Hillary. I'm ready for Evan McMullen. I'm ready for Romney.
I know, but I mean, think we're. I
I'm
think
ready
that's
for Paul
dangerous
Ryan,
territory
God
because you will have half of the people riot, and those people have guns, and we don't. So that's
true.
A scary situation.
This is just like the mummy.
So, I want to turn the conversation to something a little more uplifting. I want to talk about abortion. It's just such an uplifting thing. So Kate is a fellow. You're a fellow Ohioan.
Yes, I am.
So today, actually, this is great. Governor Kasich vetoed the Ohio heartbeat bill.
Yes.
That would have banned abortions after 6 weeks.
Well, but don't clap yet.
Yeah, don't get too excited.
Yeah, so he did sign a 20-week abortion ban. So is he like a good guy or like a bad guy?
I mean, I think in his own mind, he's a very good guy. I think in his own mind, he's a very good guy.
Sure, Trump's a good guy in his mind, too.
Well, I mean, I think that obviously there's a strategy to this that compared to, you know, banning abortions at 6 weeks, 20 weeks makes you sound like a champion for women's rights. But, you know, I guess the bigger thing that upsets me about this trend of everything that's happening with, you know, you have to bury your, you know, your miscarriages and all of the, you know, the Oklahoma signs in bathrooms thing that recently happened, everything that's happening is that...
Wait, what is that, signs in bathrooms?
Oh, the Oklahoma proposed a thing that said that, you know, in all public... Not all, certain public restrooms, you have to hang a sign informing women about the options for adoption and carrying their child to pregnancy.
Public restrooms?
Well, and the funny thing is that it would apply to any facility under the jurisdiction of the Department of Health, which would include old folks' homes.
Thank God. There's so many unwanted pregnancies amongst
in
the elderly.
Old folks' homes.
It's a real problem.
But can you imagine that poor old lady who's just like, oh, girl, I just need to wash my hands. I've got a catheter, for Christ's sake.
I mean, I think the overarching trend that makes me very sad is the inability to have an equal discussion about abortion, because I think there are certain people who have very sincere, you know, being from Ohio, who have very sincere religious-based beliefs about abortion. I do not think that those people tend to be the people who are political leaders or legal authorities who are creating these laws. I don't buy those religious convictions, but I do buy the religious convictions of the constituents. And I think that all these campaigns to, you know, make these big statement laws about the heartbeat bill and the signs and the burials and whatever, they don't demonstrate to me a desire for discussion or, you know, even a care for the sanctity of human life. They represent a desire to win.
Yeah, and they're using people's religious beliefs to push this agenda. And as somebody who has been pregnant in this group and has a child, and has, you know, I'm of an age that a lot of my friends have been pregnant, are pregnant, have had miscarriages, which is very sad. And to think... a lot of these laws prevent women from making their own decisions. And I think a lot of people... who are misinformed about what these laws are, often are like, oh, well, women are irresponsible and, you know, you should live up to it or whatever. But these laws prevent women who have miscarriages from getting the health care they need in order to have another baby. So a lot of women have a miscarriage and these laws would make the fetus stay inside, a dead fetus stay inside of your body, hurt your chances of having another pregnancy, which you desperately want. I mean, you know, it's a complicated decision, and that's why laws shouldn't exist for these things. I mean, it's very, very hard.
Well, or should take into account the complexity of it and the real human cost and the financial cost.
Nobody wants to have an abortion. Like, you know what I mean?
Well, there was an interview, I think, with the guy that sponsored the heartbeat bill, like the guy behind the heartbeat bill in Ohio, where there was an interview with him, it might have been a year or two ago, that surfaced recently where someone asked him, like, could you think of, like, why someone might want to have an abortion, why a woman might want to have one? And he literally was like, you know, I've never really thought about that. Let me think about that. I guess there might be some reasons. I've never thought about it. It's like, yeah, you've never fucking thought about it.
Can I propose like a pretty dark theory of why these sort of religious right laws pop up constantly? And they're
please.
I think that, so the Republicans control the House and the Senate right now, and on a state level, there's a ton of Republican governors, right? I think that they're not actually doing anything to improve the day-to-day economic lives of their constituents. And so they're putting forth these bills that morally and ethically for the religious right seem like the right thing to do, and they're grabbing headlines and it makes it seem like they're doing something.
It's distracting their constituents from the fact that they didn't accept Medicaid expansion.
But that's another thing. It's just
they don't want to give your baby the force to have healthcare.
They're taking away social welfare. I'm not seeing all these governors adopting a bunch of kids they're forcing women to have. It's like, I just think it's this like PR stunt.
Yeah.
And it's not to say that they don't personally believe this if they are religious.
And some people do.
But I'm just saying, like, it's a big... It's peacocking for their constituents in a way that's like, but day to day, what are you doing for these people's lives? And you're basically going after lower income women who depend on publicly funded healthcare. And it just breaks my heart because it's just like, I see the men who propose these bills and who vote on these bills, and they're just like old fucking white men. And I get like flames from the side of my face.
On the side of my face. They're lying to people. It's the reason that there aren't, the reason that it's difficult to regulate abortion, they're telling uneducated people that abortions just happen on demand, and that women who are just like have sex all the time and then are like, fuck it, I'm getting an abortion this week. And that's not the case. I mean, if you talk to most people who are anti-abortion, you explain certain situations, they're like, well, I'm fine with it in that case. Well, I'm fine with it in that case. Well, okay, yeah, that sounds like that makes sense to me too. You know, rape, incest, people. I mean, if you have a miscarriage, they do a thing where they get rid of the baby after the baby has died. And that all of these abortion bills would stop that from happening. So, you know, they're doing these things and lying to people and saying it's an epidemic of people killing babies. And that's just not the case. They're you know, they're taking advantage of people.
And I will say the only single issue voters that I know in Ohio are single issue on abortion. Mm-hmm. So it is, I think you do have a good point that it is very much, you know, I'll take a pass on anything else because my religion dictates that this has to go away.
I just like, if we could make these male lawmakers have one pap smear, like
guys, they suck.
They just have no fucking clue.
I got a transvaginal ultrasound, and that was the worst. It was terrible. I mean, to find out my pregnancy when I was early, and like to think that, and I wanted my son, and it was happy, and you know, it was an exciting thing, and it was painful. I can't imagine going in and being a teenager or a rape victim, and anyway. Guys, this is a comedy show.
All right. So let's change gears a little bit. Here's a real light topic that I think we could transition to after that, which is Trump's inauguration and the fact that we don't know who's going to perform at Trump's inauguration. what did you say?
Kanye.
You think Kanye is going to perform? Well, we want to talk about Kanye,
funny.
Too.
Kanye. How do you say it?
Kanye. I don't think Kim would let him. I genuinely... So in addition to Kanye visiting Trump Tower today... I think it was like Jim Brown also visited, and who's the woman who was on? Oh my God, I'm blanking.
Who is Jim Brown?
He's an ex-football player.
Yeah, he's an ex-football player.
Browns.
the woman who was on The Apprentice.
Omarosa.
She showed up with Jim Brown, so he basically said he was trying to form a African American coalition. Oh, so he was specifically meeting with African Americans.
He brought in
today.
The three black people he's ever met. And he was like, guys,
you're a coalition. Well, that's what Kanye
now.
Said. He said he basically was trying to...
Was Don King there? Because he also knows him.
But I heard that Kanye requested the meeting.
Well, he did want to have a direct line to the president to talk about multicultural issues, as he tweeted. Right. But I don't think, ultimately, Kanye would perform. Like, Kanye just got out of 5150 psychiatric hold in California.
There's something wrong
with
him,
like,
right?
I mean, he's like, have legitimate mental illness now? Isn't he like dead?
Just based on the footage today of him not answering questions and just saying,
I tweeted, so I was like, it looked like Brian Wilson standing next to his doctor who spoke for him. Like, it was disturbing to me. Like, you know, Trump had his hand on his back and was waving and smiling, and Kanye didn't want to talk. He just wanted to pose for the pictures and leave.
He looked as shell-shocked as Mike Myers did when he had to stand next to Kanye during the George Bush hates black people line, just like, I don't know what to say.
I just feel like that's sort of reprehensible to, like, take advantage of someone who's in an, who has an illness at this moment.
Yeah, it seems like he's not in a position to be answering questions.
There's no compassion anymore.
Do you want to expand on that?
Well, like, just what you were saying about women's rights. Like, these men have zero compassion. Like, you said that to me in one sentence, and I thought, Jesus, that's miserable. That's terrible. Why would anyone say that and make that happen to someone? And these people have zero compassion. They have no compassion for people who are, like, running from bombs in Aleppo. None.
Right.
Yeah, the hypocrisy behind the title pro-life. Like, they want to protect the baby in the womb, and the second the baby gets out of the womb, it's like public funding dries up.
Right.
All right, so we all agree it's going to be Kid Rock, right? It's going to be Kid Rock.
It's going to be these, like, sad people who, you know, like, tequila or whatever. Like, these, like, fucking miserable people who are like, you know, Scott Baio will come out and do a fucking dramatic monologue. They're all sad people who have, like, sad lives and who are, like, misinformed and read Breitbart and are like, oh, I think this is the right thing, so I'm going to do it. And they're all... It's pitiful. It's sad.
What area of Texas is that accent from?
That's Scott Baio's Texas, baby.
I also like, too, that, like...
That's so also the writer of The Mummy.
He has all these sort of, like... It says something that no artists support him. Like, come on. That says something that all the washed up D-list actors who are like, these Mexicans came and took my acting jobs. Like, no, you're terrible,
but
Scott Baio.
But like every
Charles
Republican
in charge,
has that problem.
That ended and we all realized you were a hack. So
here's the thing. Every Republican has had their problem of no celebrity support them. Trump is just the one that's willing to like book Scott Baio. Do you know what I mean? Like Scott Baio probably would have showed up for George Bush. But George Bush was smart
well,
enough
because,
to say, like, no,
because
thank
he
you.
Also has this weird thing of, like, as the celebrity or as the apprentice celebrity edition or whatever, he booked all these washed up actors. So he has this weird, like, you know, Ivy drip of these, like, washed up.
But
people.
Also, like, George Bush had Patricia Heaton and Kelsey Grammer. And you rolled your eyes and you were like, ugh, gross.
Is Kelsey not on board the Trump train?
But the people that are supporting Trump are like, I'm worried about your mental health.
Right.
Like, these are not people who are like, oh boy, we get it. You got a lot of money and you want to keep it. You know, these are like...
Scott Baio doesn't have that much money. Right?
No, this is...
He snorted it all in 1986.
Well, you know, he's like, he's doing reality shows about how he like won't marry his pregnant girlfriend. You know what I mean? Like, this is not a man who's normal. He has issues, and he's taking it out on now immigrants, Mexicans, you know, Muslims. Women, everyone else, anyone without any sort of power.
I actually wonder, because it's just like, a couple of like psychiatrists refused to publicly comment on what they thought Trump had. I think it's like some sort of cocktail of narcissistic personality disorder and dementia. And I sort of wonder like...
Oh God, I hope it's not dementia.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's just like, so here you have these sycophant, you know, Republicans. You have like Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan and everything who are basically just like... riding his coattails to pass anything they can and ignoring addressing. Like, I think even John McCain was like, I refuse to comment on what Donald Trump says and does until after he's inaugurated, which is like such a cop out.
All of those people are craven and disgusting.
But that's what I'm saying.
McCain
it's like,
at least is
where does Donald
like
Trump
Russia.
Have to get right, in yeah. his like crazy mental illness state as president of the United States? Like what tweet to a foreign country will it take for Paul Ryan to be like, okay, now it's too far? Like, that's what I'm scared about.
There was a video of him saying it's okay to grab pussies.
But that's
There's
been a Republican
nothing.
Stance for many years. but I'm serious. Like, I don't know how far this will go in his dementia unless he starts literally speaking incoherently and maybe they'll...
Speaks incoherently.
Maybe it has to get to, like, a Weekend at Bernie's situation where Paul Ryan and Reince Priebus are just on either side of him.
I think they'll be thrilled because then they can kick him out and get Mike Pence in there and they'll be...
Here's what I actually wanted to ask you guys. Like, the devil you know or the devil you don't? Like, if Trump gets impeached, is it better? Are we happier that Mike Pence is in charge because he's maybe less crazy on the, like,
Kate,
nuclear codes
think?
Trigger?
Kate or, looks like she's about to jump in.
Or, no, I'm just saying, like, he's less insane on maybe an international level, but, like, civil rights, holy shit. Like, what's better?
In that scenario, I would prefer Mike Pence because I do not think he is a charismatic leader.
Huh.
And
that's a
I
good point.
I think that what is dangerous about Trump is, again, not his core beliefs, because, again, I do not think he has any. I think it is his charisma and the fact that he is an empty vessel.
I agree.
Charisma is like, listen, I get it, because I look at him, I'm like, he seems like literally like a sack of potatoes with a hairpiece.
I don't mean charismatic
but
in the sense of like, you know, like a My Little
simple,
Pony. I mean, like,
easy sentences that people
He is
think
charismatic
are
towards some people.
He's
I
not
mean,
charismatic like Brendan Fraser in The Mummy.
Oh, don't get me started about how much I like Brendan Fraser. So, no, he's charismatic in the sense that people, I mean, this is why he's continuing to campaign. He already won. He's continuing to campaign and hold rallies because he exists and thrives on the cult of personality.
And that's all he loves.
And that's what, you know, that's what that Banana
said,
Republicans are. That's
we're women. I'm a gay man.
You're gay?
Women. I'm profoundly homosexual.
I've met your husband. That's right. That's
it's on
right.
my Wikipedia page. It's okay. Did not put that there. Anyhow, I don't know how it got there, but I'm scared. Anyway, Mike Pence hates us.
I'm sure he hates us. He's probably gay.
Oh, yeah, he seems pretty gay.
I think
but
he's
by the way, I did
gay.
Not realize until my therapist was like, I mean, he's pretty gay,
he's
right?
Totally gay. 100%. Honestly, he went to Hamilton because he wanted to watch Hamilton.
He's,
he's
like,
guys,
I hear there's
so
good
gay.
Dancing.
But you know what? One thing I will say, the one bright spot of this election is I do feel like we have passed the sort of social politics. Like, Donald Trump is a three-time married piece of shit, like, you know, it goes back and forth on abortion, goes back and forth on gay rights, and people don't give a shit. So I do feel like if I agree that Mike Pence is preferable because look at what happened in North Carolina. People voted for the Democrat because they were like, we don't give a shit about bathrooms. You're making this about transgender rights. We don't care. You've lost
you
his business.
You mean the governor.
Yeah, the governor, sorry. He lost. So
because Trump won North Carolina.
Sure.
Trump won, but McCrory lost.
And a lot of people voted for Trump because they were pissed off that the Republican made it about bathrooms. And they thought he was different than the traditional Republican. So I do think if Pence, for some reason, got in, he would lose in 4 years.
Yeah, and overwhelming.
Because he would push the agenda so far socially. People don't care about social shit anymore. They want jobs. They
he
want
would be
people
a normal politician who would do press conferences, who would not just like tweet bombs all the time, and because of that, it would be to his detriment. I mean, I think he's more defeatable.
And also, the thing that scares me the most about Trump is his foreign policy. That's what scares me the most. He will get us into some sort of World War III situation.
Can I tell you guys a really scary story about Trump I read today?
Oh, God.
This wrestler in a 2008 interview. Because, you know, Trump did the WWE a lot. He's friends with McMahon's.
Yep.
He's in a porno.
Linda McMahon is going to be in his cabinet.
Well, she donated $7.5 million. I guess she should get an appointment. So this wrestler came out in his 2008 interview and said that whenever he had to work with Trump in the WWE, he personally found that Trump could not tell Trump didn't know the difference between reality and like the storyline, and Trump like would constantly get confused with the plot lines of the WWE because he thought many were real. And one time he had to call the WWE offices because Vince McMahon in this like narrative stunt died in a limo. And
Stone Cold blew his limo up, I think.
Thanks,
Trump
Charlie, for
called
knowing.
The WWE to make sure Vince McMahon was still alive.
Oh God!
So. President-elect Donald Trump.
And are we sure that's real? Like, is that a real
news story? The wrestler was telling these stories. This was a 2008 interview that came about. So this was like...
Which wrestler was it? The audience must have known.
God, I want to say like... His name was like a double letter, like HH or something.
Triple H?
Yeah, Triple H.
But Triple H is Vince's son-in-law.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, well,
Vince's
again, this was a 2008
Vince McMahon's daughter
interview.
Married Triple H.
Guys, go check out Charlie's wrestling show, Cage Match, every Thursday, UCB, Chelsea.
Who's Linda? Who donated?
That's Vince McMahon's wife.
It current wife?
Yes.
Oh.
And she's now in the cabinet. She's a failed senatorial secretary of what? Anybody
at least she ran for Senate.
Secretary like, of Hurt? I don't know.
Yeah, she's like probably secretary of the anti-wrestling league. And they're secretary. Like, whatever, we all want wrestling. So, so Kate, a groundbreaking $6.3 billion medical funding bill led by Joe Biden was passed today. It provides billions of dollars for mental health funding, the opioid epidemic, and cancer research. And it was passed with bipartisan support. Does that give you hope that they're going to be able to work together in the future?
They meaning Republicans and Democrats?
Yeah, kumbaya.
I mean, I honestly, yes. I would say it's not that specific, you know, action gives me hope, but I do generally have hope just as a human, I guess. And I guess I think also, you know, being from Ohio, I think at the very local level, politics, and I'm talking like, you know, in your neighborhoods, in your schools, in your families, politics doesn't come up as much as we think it does, those of us who maybe, you know, have to read about politics constantly. So I think that there is more opportunity for, this is an overly optimistic thing to say, perhaps, but I think...
Please say it. We need it. We need it right now, Kate.
I've been talking a lot to, you know, my boyfriend and, you know, coworkers and stuff about how, you know, we're a very young country. Our Civil War was not that long ago, you know, in the history of history. You know, a lot of our, you know, Roe v. Wade hasn't been around that long, and we already kind of take it for granted that it will always be around. So I think that I think that this might be an opportunity of a test of the ideals that we think might work. I think there have been historical tests in the past of the strength of our multicultural democracy, which is extremely uncommon in the history of the world, and I think we might be in the middle of one or at the brink of one now.
It doesn't all go to shit, we're going to be okay and it's going to be great.
Yeah, and if it does, then, we tried, you know?
Can I say why I love this bill so much? I don't know if you're like me, you watch Netflix on a Friday night and watch Heroin USA and Alzheimer's documentaries.
We watch a lot of bullshit, too.
But the Heroin USA documentary and like what they kind of found out after the election was that a lot of these countries that are in the deepest, you know, throes of addiction, especially of heroin, are very red Trump counties. Yeah, exactly. So these people are desperate. That's why they loved the wall. They wanted drugs to stop coming over. They're desperate. They've lost their kids. You know, it's an epidemic. And so this is sort of like, I don't know. I don't know if Trump would have ever signed a bill like this or had the force. You know, I don't know if Pence would have been like, I'm going to be the VP that champions this. Like,
just
I'm
crazy
because so
he's from Indiana and it's a big problem there.
I don't think he really pays attention to the civil issues of his.
He did eventually say he wanted to have a needle exchange program because HIV was such an epidemic.
But I'm so glad that like Biden and Obama were just like, we're going to get this in under the wire because this is going to help those counties that voted for Trump. You know, they wanted him to be their hero, and I don't know if he's going to be that for them. I feel like he's already let them down in a lot of ways with his appointments. So I'm so glad Obama and Biden are doing this, and I really, really hope it helps these counties. I hope we can get these people help so they can get on the road to recovery and just, like, you know, I don't know. There's just so many other problems that if we can just give them their basic level needs and medical needs addressed.
That's what's so sad about it. Our war on drugs... and our over-prescribing prescription medicine created this problem. So we prescribed all these opioids to people because the pharmaceutical companies had no regulations and ran rampant and started just being like, oh, yeah, here's this. And people were getting addicted to prescription pain medicine and then couldn't get it anymore and moved on to heroin. And so this was a government-manufactured problem. So it's... seems like just, I can't believe we haven't done anything to help it before then.
But you know what they say? Like, I read some statistics today. They were saying, like, well, teens do less illegal drugs in today more than ever. And I was like, yeah, because they're doing each other's prescription drugs. Like, I know a guy who died of heroin 2 years ago because he was taking all these prescription drugs and he got to the point where he wasn't feeling anything and he went down to Skid Row in LA and asked a homeless man where he could get heroin, and then asked that homeless man how he could shoot up, because he had never done it before, because he was an upper-middle-class white man who had gotten addicted to prescription drugs, and, like, the only way to go from there was heroin. It's prescription drugs. It's, like, insane.
Yeah.
But also what's so beautiful about you saying that is, not about your friend, but about you're hopeful that these counties will actually get some help from this bill is that if those counties get help from that bill, they're not going to associate it with the Democratic
Party.
They
might associate it with Trump.
Exactly.
I don't care. I think they
know. That's what's beautiful about it. That's compassion. That's about, like, I want these people to have the help that they need. And it's not about this political, cold-hearted...
zero-sum.
Yeah, like,
it's about the win for them.
I'll deny the fact that Russia is hacking all of our email servers as long as I can keep this office or what have you. Mm-hmm. And that is what is ruining. I mean, I know this is like such a huge platitude, but like that is what's ruining our country. Gross.
I don't mean to like say this as a Democratic and Republican thing, because I know that people think that politicians are greedy and they just want their jobs, right? But it feels to me like there's this difference politically between people who are looking to the future and people who are looking in the now. And it feels like the Democrats are like, climate change, I need to leave a better place for my children. You know, the drug epidemic, I need to, although this was bipartisan, I have to say this bill that passed
today
was
bipartisan. Right, because white people are doing drugs is why it became bipartisan.
Yeah. Black people have been doing drugs for years. We don't care if they die, but white people are doing it. So, oops, problem.
Yeah, thanks CIA to that.
White people are now suffering from addiction in the same way that black people were suffering.
That's
right.
What I mean to say, yeah.
Right. But... you know, I feel like that's this difference. It seems so short-sighted. That the Republicans, and it seems Republicans that are short-sighted.
But they're living in
the
counties that are destitute now. They're in these abandoned, forgotten industry towns where Trump...
But we can't pass these bills to retrain people because they don't want to invest in infrastructure.
Well, and I think that's the whole point, right? It's, I think being all long game or all short game is both wrong. But if you view one side or the other as like, I'm all that team or I'm all this team, well, then you're both fighting for what? It's both. It's a little bit of both. And it's, you know, it's, I feel like the connecting thread of all of these issues is being able to sit at a table and say, hey, these might be complicated things that require...
That's what I didn't get about. I read so many articles where they're like, we went into Trump's America, to rural Pennsylvania, to this, you know, forgotten coal mining town, and we asked them why they were voting for Trump, and Trump very stupidly promised he'd get all these coal mining jobs back. But, like, nobody asked them, like, well, don't you want to be trained in a new energy technology? Like, why are you relying on coal? Also, these people had insane health problems associated with working in mines. So it was just sort of like this twofold thing where I just don't understand why they wouldn't want to have some sort of investment infrastructure bill for clean energy. Like, all Trump does, I mean, if you go back on his Twitter, he just bitches about wind energy and claims about all the eagles it's killing and it's ruining his golf courses.
Yeah, because there's a wind farm that's, like, ruining the view of one of his Scottish golf courses.
Right.
And I'm not saying, like, this makes everything look
bad. I'm not saying wind is the answer, but I just don't understand financially and economy. I just don't understand, like, even ExxonMobil... Like, I know these companies have entire departments focused on renewable new energy.
There's some hope with the Secretary of State that he recognizes climate change. He advocated for gay scout leaders when he was in charge of the Boy Scouts. So, like, he's not all bad.
Yeah, he said he thinks climate change exists.
No, but to Ali's point, Exxon is spending money knowing that...
But in the short term, the answer is going to be fracking, which is causing insane earthquakes.
Right.
I don't know.
But that's our hope. I mean, I really think that companies are actually the hope, right? That they're the ones that are like, oh, wait, we don't care if climate change is a problem for the community or whatever,
right,
but
we're worried
care.
That there's not enough coal left to mine.
Exactly. So we want to move forward because economically that's smart.
You know what this cabinet, this administration feels like? We elected Citizens United. Like, we elected a corporation to run our country.
Yeah.
And we're, like, crossing our fucking fingers.
It's nothing but billionaires that are filling the cabinet. Billionaires and generals.
Yeah, I was going to be nominated, but, like, I'm not a billionaire. So, okay, so this has just been just the most hilarious conversation. Thank you guys so much. This comedy show, like, makes me just laugh so much.
It's a dark time. It's such a dark time.
It's hard. We're doing our best.
I know. We're doing our best. And you know what? I don't give a shit because I actually think people need to hear all this stuff. So there you go. But so we want to start wrapping up. 2016 has been a rough year, so we want to ask a general question. We'll go down the line. Who do you think has been the biggest hero and the biggest villain of 2016? Charlie, you want to go first because maybe you've had time to think about this since you knew that question was coming? These people are like, oh, shit, I don't know, Mickey Mouse?
Villain, James Comey, until he explains himself.
Huh.
To be fair, I told you that over dinner tonight that I thought it was James
Comey. Yeah, but I had already thought about it. No, he literally like found Anthony Weiner's laptop and ruined the election. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Hillary Clinton. She was.
That's very partisan of you.
No, I think she. I mean, she's my hero of this year. My God, the shit that woman had to put up with, and the disgrace that happened on election day. I don't know. I can't think of a better hero.
Villain, guys, that's got to be easy.
My villain is Mike Pence, and I'll tell you why. Hold on, I'm gonna tell you. Because Donald Trump is a crazy person and a madman and says gross, disgusting things. But I do believe he has a diagnosable mental illness. Whereas Mike Pence, I don't believe has a diagnosable mental illness, but is just like, I believe he would have been never Trump, except that Trump picked him to be the vice president. Yep. And so then he was like, I support Trump all the way. And I just shake my head in complete, complete shock at everything that
also,
Tim Kaine is saying.
Also, I
want to
put a
saying.
Dick in my mouth because I'm gay.
Because, yeah, and also, like, his huge, huge bills that he's putting through are things like, let's get rid of Planned Parenthood altogether. Not even abortion, but Planned Parenthood, which provides incredible services to women and to men. Thank you very much. And like,
yes, men use all these family planning things.
Public health.
Men use them because we have sex with men. And we're all lesbians who didn't have sex with men. I wouldn't need birth control.
Yeah, so I think Mike Pence, for hero, I'm going to say, and I know this is sort of dumb, but I'm going to say my mom, because she was born in 1944, and she was a Reagan Republican, although she did vote for Dukakis, okay?
Yes.
And when I came out of the closet, she, like, had this huge compassion wave, and then she was like, you know what? I'm a woman, and I've had so much sexism poured upon me, and then she, like, this year posted things about Black Lives Matter, and she walked in a Wall Street Occupy San Antonio march. And a couple years ago, she was in the rotunda when Wendy Davis did her filibuster, and she had this incredible surge of compassion and love for all people, not just people like her. And I think that's
a
real hero thing.
Yeah. To Jeff's mom.
Yeah.
All right, we're almost out of time. Real quick, hero and villain, Allie.
Villain of 2016, Time Warner. No, I'm kidding.
They suck. They're called
Follow that beautiful tribute Spectrum to Jeff's now. Mother.
Excuse me, Spectrum. They had to change their name because they're so loathed. I'm just going to take a different stance for the sake of argument. I think Ivanka Trump is a little insidious Uncle Tom ex-Democrat who I know from people who know her in New York that she hates her father and has just fucking taken the party line. Her family planning bill for her dad did not include people of other sexual orientations or men. It was basically just like a package for white women who work, which is her whole thing. She doesn't acknowledge the fact that she has a ton of hired help. She claims that she's going to be this like, she's meeting with Leonardo DiCaprio to be like climate change czar, but she like helped her climate denying father get elected. I just don't think she's gonna do anything. I think like Democrats are like, I don't know. I feel like she's just been insidious on every different level, and she's sort of like really just let her people down, and it's disgusting. And I'm very disappointed in Ivanka. My hero has been this Chow Chow account I follow on Instagram. it's called like Chow Chow Puppies. I highly recommend it. For the first few days after the election, I was like, this feels empty and perfunctory to like all these dog pictures, but like it brought me back. It brought me back, and it was literally one of those things where I was just like, there are still Chow Chow Puppies in the world. And I'm sorry if that sounds superficial, but like
Chow Chow
we all have to have our one thing, and mine
thank you,
is
thank
Chow Chow
you
Puppies.
That. Kate.
This is a hard question to answer. I guess I would say my villain would be every liberal who went on social media to shame other liberals for being mad about the wrong thing.
Ugh. That Preach. Happened a lot.
Preach.
Still happening.
Still a villain. And my hero would be every person who went off of social media and had a real conversation with someone who they disagreed with.
Cody, that's real great. Quick, wrap it up.
This is really crazy. Guys, I think Lindsey Graham's been a real hero.
I agree
and that's
with that.
Really
yeah.
difficult to say because I think he's sort of a piece of shit. But he has been the one person in this whole thing that's like, Donald Trump's crazy. Russia hacked. Like, we're checking it out. And I think we need to get more Republicans on our side and to say, like, listen, I get it. We don't agree on a lot. But, like, you do agree that the fundamentals of our democracy are there for a reason.
He's going to come out of the closet in 2017, right?
And I hope he and Mike Pence are having an affair. And I want to end on that because heroes are everybody. And thank you all for being here.
All right, we're out of time.
Everybody.
Thanks to our panel, Kate Sidley, Allie Horton, Jeff Hiller. Thank you guys for coming out.
Thank you.
Come see our show in January and check us out on iTunes. And one last thing we'd like to say is please, please, please don't forget to vote in midterm elections, everybody.
Yes. I was just about to say that.
I was like, wait, please vote.
That's our sign off. That's our sign off. Thank you so much. Have a great night.
Good night, everybody. Thank you.
Cody and Charlie and a few of their friends chug a couple beers and talk politics.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.